My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful Wednesday. We are one more sleep away from week one of the NFL season. The Baltimore Ravens come to Kansas City to take on the Kansas City Chiefs as they look to win an unprecedented 3 Super Bowl championships in a row. We are going to bounce back and forth between the NFL and Major League Baseball today. Don't really have a lot of plans to talk a lot of college football today. I'm sure we'll get to it on Friday as all 3 local teams actually play an interesting game in their own way. Texas plays Michigan this weekend, but we're going to focus in on the Chiefs and the Royals. We're going to talk a lot of those 2 teams over the course of the next 3.5 hours. We are off a little bit early today because of the Kansas City Royals. We will start with baseball. Trust me, we will give you more than enough football today at 4 o'clock. We're going to take a trip to Baltimore. We are going to hear from Jeff Chedia at some point in today's show. We got you covered if you are getting ready for the start of the NFL season. I was at the K yesterday for Buck Night, also to see them lose their 7th consecutive game. They lost yesterday to the Cleveland Guardians. They continue to fall back and back in the division. We'll get to that coming up in a bit, but before we do any of that, let's give you a chance to win a prize.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7965. Call number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella with all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether it's a slice or a whole pie, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell 2 friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City, all you need to do is keep it locked in right here on 96.5 The Fan. Again, we will talk a lot of football over the course of today's show, but this is something that I quite simply have to get off of my chest. It is something that I've been thinking about since, I don't know, the 5th inning of yesterday's game. You guys know that I love my relationship analogies, so I can't start this monologue without giving you a relationship analogy. Have you ever been really interested in somebody and then you realize that you were the one that was doing all the work? That you would text this person, they were really slow about texting you back, you tried to spend time with this person, and this person always had a different reason for why you guys could just never connect. I gotta work tomorrow, it's a school night, it was a bunch of different reasons why eventually you and that person had to end up going your separate ways. And maybe at some point in this relationship, you woke up one day and just realized, you know what? She's just not really that into me. So you can pour more effort and more resources into trying to change the situation, or you can just simply walk away from it. I made the determination yesterday as I was at Kauffman Stadium and while I was watching the game that today is going to be the last day that I ever talk about attendance on this show. Now, Rob, you can even make the decision. I didn't even tell you this part. You can make the decision if we should continue doing the Price is Right. Now, I would like to finish it for the rest of the season. We only have 10 home games left. So if you want to play it for the rest of the season, I'm fine to do it. I enjoy giving people pizzas. But I made a pact to myself. I'm done talking about the Royals attendance. And the reason I'm done talking about the Royals attendance is quite simple. Kansas City is not a baseball town. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, what about 2014 and 15? The city was on fire for the Royals. The only time that I've seen Kansas City love baseball in my lifetime of living here for 36 years is when every other city in America could have got into their baseball team. It's easy to get into the Royals when they have one of the great comebacks in the wild card and they go on this improbable run of the World Series and going out to the ballpark the next season in 2015 when they are the best team in Major League Baseball coming off the World Series and on the heels of winning a World Series and the first championship that any of us have ever seen. Every city in America could have got into that team. But as I was sitting out at Kauffman Stadium yesterday, and it's a first-place game, the Royals right now are 4.5 games up in the wild card. The Royals, even in the middle of this stretch, are one of the best stories in baseball right now. They got a Tuesday in April crowd yesterday, and 14,800 people. For an example, they got less than half of the amount of people that were out there Monday on Labor Day. I don't question if Kansas City will show up for big events. The Currents' first game is a big event. Kansas City showed up and was beautiful in doing that. Kansas City's going to show up when the Chiefs put up a championship banner. Sure, Kansas City will show up when Shaq is going to be DJing and they're playing the St. Louis Cardinals on a Friday. But you know what great fan bases are defined by? It's showing up on days like Tuesday in the middle of a pennant race. You want to know why Kansas basketball is so special? That they show up for the games against UConn. They show up for the games against North Carolina. It's also an atmosphere when they're playing TCU on a Tuesday. That's why they have the best home field, home court advantage in all of college sports, because their fans go out there and support the team. Royals fans don't. I know on the text line, I know. Inflation, parking, where the stadium is. You're just not that into them, and that's okay to be that way. Yesterday, the only cities that Kansas City outdrew in Major League Baseball were the teams that have completely given up on baseball. I hate to say it, and I say this as a proud Kansas Cityan through and through. I went to E.F. Sweeney Elementary, went to Bryant Elementary, went to Lincoln Prep. I'm one of you guys. Kansas City is closer to Oakland as a baseball fan base than St. Louis. St. Louis would have never let this happen yesterday where you get 14,000 people out there in the middle of a pennant race in September. This would have never happened in Cleveland. It would have never happened in Milwaukee or Minnesota or any of those fan bases that you are getting Tuesday night in April crowds on a Wednesday, Tuesday. Maybe we shouldn't even play Royals Prices Right. I was texting with Vern about this. They're expecting 13,000 out there tonight. Yesterday, I guess they got a bump because they were giving away dollar dogs. They did a little bobblehead giveaway when you walked in there. It was actually kind of cool. State Farm was sponsoring it. If you went to the game yesterday, many of you didn't go. It was great. I don't want to get here and be on my soapbox again. I love you guys. I'm one of you guys. I'm simply here as a messenger to tell you guys the harsh truth about who we are. I'm a Missouri fan. I love Missouri. Missouri fans are some of the most negative and pessimistic people around. K-State, I'm here to tell you, your fan base is annoying 92% of the time. KU fans, the rest of us don't like you. I'm here to be honest with you guys. Royals fans, you guys just aren't that into baseball. You guys show up for the games that everybody shows up for. 4th of July, Labor Day, the Cardinals are in town. Aaron Judge is in town. Outside of 2014, in late September in 2015, Kansas City has never shown up for the Royals consistently. It's always something. Always. It's graduation. It's school the next day. It's too far away. You guys just aren't that into it. If they restarted Major League Baseball today from scratch, ground one, just restarted it, they would not pick Kansas City as a baseball market. That team would be in Las Vegas. That team would be in Nashville. If they completely started over from the ground floor in building Major League Baseball, there is no reason why a team that is scheduled to go to the postseason right now is bottom five in attendance. They got significantly less than what their average is yesterday. They didn't even have an average Royals game yesterday. So I promise to you guys, this is the last time I will ever do this. Maybe we'll do it at 5 o'clock. Who knows? I mean, I'm sure we'll find something to talk about. But this is the last time that I ever plan on talking about this. You guys just don't care. The Chiefs could announce a scrimmage. You guys would rather go to the scrimmage than watch playoff baseball. KU tomorrow could announce an impromptu basketball game against Illinois to benefit children's research, and more of you would go out there to watch a Kansas scrimmage than watch the Royals in the middle of a playoff push. That's where we are. The Kansas Jayhawks playing Lindenwood outdrew the Royals yesterday. Lindenwood, a Division II school in suburban St. Louis. You're just not that into the Royals, and that's okay. I don't want to do Royals Prices Right today. Let's just give the pizza away. Caller number 6 to 913-586-7965. You don't even have to guess attendance for the Royals. It's going to be minimal. I know that. You know that. We'll just give the pizza away. Caller number 6. You don't even have to guess. You don't have to win the prize. Coming up, we will talk about something you care about far more than the Royals, the Chiefs. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Some of you were very happy about the Open. Some of you were very upset about the Open. That's kind of what sports talk is. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. We will talk Chiefs a majority of the show today. We will bounce back to the Royals at some point. I was at the game yesterday. I actually had a great time at the game yesterday. Everything other than, I don't know, how the game turned out yesterday, we'll talk about that. I also don't think there is as many reasons to panic as some of you do about the Kansas City Royals, but we will get to that in coming up in just a bit. All right, there are a couple of different things that I want to play for you guys related to the Kansas City Chiefs, because you guys tell me all the time when we discuss this that I'm crazy. Now, I don't think that I'm this crazy about this. I would like to point this out. I am overly optimistic and positive about the Chiefs and almost every area that you can heading into this season. There's no reason to be anything other than that. I love their quarterback. I like their run game. I like the additions that they've made to the wide receiver room. Their offensive line is good. There's a lot of things to like about this year's Kansas City Chiefs team. I think they're the best team in the NFL. I got them as the one seed. I got to say all that because you guys never hear that part before the but. But I do have some questions about their secondary. And when you lose a corner as good as Legarius Sneed, I feel sometimes that I'm the only one that's like, hey, maybe they're going to miss that guy this season. Some of you don't feel that way, and that's okay. You tell me that I'm crazy. I'm cornered out on the text line. Well, you know what? I want to play a couple pieces of audio just to show you that I am not the only person that feels this way. Nate Taylor, you guys trust him, right? Nate Taylor has been to every Chiefs game for the last 6 years. He covers the team. Nobody knows the Chiefs better than our guy, Nate Taylor. You can hear him every Friday at 4 on this show. He, too, is also concerned about the corners.
I gotta be honest, Diana, I don't totally feel confident about the defense.
Oh.
For a couple reasons. Because I've seen them every day. One of the more notable statistics, I guess you could say, ahead of this game is the Chiefs starters, whoever the 11th guy is on the field on defense when that game starts on Thursday night, that will be their first snap together all year. You still got George Karlaftis, you still got Chris Jones, but those two guys are going to have to do a lot of the damage Thursday night because I'm just not sure how the back end is going to look quite because the corner situation has not really been resolved.
Is Nate Taylor crazy too? I don't try to sit here and come up with ways to poke holes in the Chiefs. I really don't. I know some of you think I do that. I promise you I don't. I got to look at the Chiefs objectively, fair and balanced. The one thing that concerns me a little bit about this team is the back half of that secondary and their cornerback room. Their cornerback room, if we are just looking at it on paper, is noticeably worse than it was last year. Now, if you're telling me that they're going to blend that with pressure up front and George Karlaftis is going to take a big step forward, Mike Dana is going to get pressure, you'll get something from Felix Onyedike Uzomah, and you are going to disguise a lot of pressure and blitzes to make up for what you don't have on the back end, okay, that's fair. I'll listen to that. But if I am a team that has a lot of weapons, if I'm Cincinnati, for example, in week two, and maybe Baltimore can take advantage of this in week one because they do have weapons, I'm testing that secondary to see if you're really about it. Hey, I don't trust that you guys are two or three deep at the cornerback room, and we think that our weapons are better than you guys. That's what we think. We think that our weapons are better and stronger than you are, and we feel very, very confident that we are going to be able to get to you as a team. And we think that we are going to be able to throw the ball on you guys, and we don't think you're going to be able to do anything about it. That's really the only weakness that I see today with their team. I don't see anything else. I don't think they have the best linebacker core in the National Football League, but let's see how the games play itself out to see if linebacker is an issue for this team. But right now, I'm looking at that cornerback room, and I see Trent McDuffie, who was an all-pro last year, and I see a bunch of other question marks. And I don't know if you have a guy right now who can line up one-on-one on the outside up against some of the better wide receivers in the league. That's not really what they asked Trent McDuffie to do consistently. He played more nickel, played more on the inside. Was Snead can line up on the outside against your Tyreek Hill, against your Davante Adams, and also if you needed to move to the inside, he could do that as well. So I don't want to be Chicken Little to start today's show. I'm actually in a really good mood today. But Rob, if I had to point to just one cause for concern, one thing I'm looking at Kansas City, and I'm happy that Nate at least validated me, and I'm going to play Jeff Chedia, who said almost the exact same thing that Nate Taylor has. The one weakness that I see for the Chiefs heading into the season is that cornerback room.
Listen, to date, I have been one that has pushed back on the notion against the idea that corner is one that's going to cost them the Super Bowl, because Brett Veach's track record is so good at corner. They have made corner a plug-and-play position his entire tenure. People were sweating. What happens when Kendall Fuller leaves? They were fine. I was someone that was like, hey, what happens when Charvarius Ward leaves? They were fine. They seem to draft corners in the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth round and turn them into stars. Trent McDuffie broke the mold. He was a first-round pick, and he is an all-pro. When L'Jarius Sneed got drafted, there was no hype about Sneed, but he became an oh-wow kind of guy. They have consistently punched above their weight class at corner. So I have always felt like, you know what? They'll be fine. But I'll say this. Nate Taylor says, I'm out there every day, and I have questions. Man, that is alarm bells to me. Absolute alarm bells, because he sees it every day. He sees practice. Now, maybe the Chiefs wide receivers are all pros, and we just didn't know it. But if Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, Nazee Johnson, whatever group
is stepping up. It's the same guys that we've been seeing.
Exactly.
That's what it is. I mean, their cornerback room is the same cornerback room that they had last year, and they have basically swapped out L'Jarius Sneed for Nazee Johnson. It's all the names that you've been seeing before. They didn't add anybody new. Now, we'll see. It's next man up mentality. We'll see if those guys can step into the role, but you know they're cornerbacks if you've been watching this tape. Trent McDuffie, Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, Nazee Johnson. Trent McDuffie is put him in the certainty category. Jalen Watson was playing with the fourth string guys in the last preseason game. He was in the fourth quarter of the game. He's one of the corners that you are depending on in this upcoming season. Nazee Johnson is a seventh round guy that didn't play last season because he tore his ACL. There's question marks on the back half of this team. So this weekend I was filling in on Sirius and I had Jeff Chedia on the show. We can't have him on our show here at 610, but I can have him on that show. And I told him I was picking the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl because I don't know who else you can pick out of the AFC. I don't know who else makes sense. He said that he is not picking the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. He is picking another team. I want to play for you his logic.
I'm picking against them.
I think
for all the reasons you just mentioned, that it's very hard to win three in a row. It's never happened in the Super Bowl era. I'd push back and say, I don't know if we know they're better yet. It feels as if we've given them a lot of love for Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy without really seeing these guys playing in this offense. And it took Rashee Rice a long time to figure out how to deliver in this system last year. And Hollywood Brown is already hurt. And so I think we still have to see what happens with Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown, and I think their defense at corners is a big problem because they really haven't found a way to replace L'Jarius Sneed yet, and their depth really is not very good. So they got to stay healthy, and that's been the biggest reason they've been able to win the last two championships. They haven't had the injury bug hit them. If it hits them, I think their backups, without having guys like Mike Edwards around and Charles Omenihue being hurt. And I think that could be a big factor in them struggling if they don't win it.
That was Jeff Chedid. He is picking the Cincinnati Bengals to go to the Super Bowl. A lot of the reason is he's just going against the corners. A lot of you on the text line are saying, CDOT, you do this every year about the corners. I would contend I did not do this last year about the corners, but that's perfectly fine. Their cornerback room is usually better than the one that they're putting together right now. Now, I think we all at some point underestimated how good L'Jarius Sneed was, but I think it is fair to point out with this team, they did not replace L'Jarius Sneed. Their cornerback room is the same as it was last year, minus who could have been their best corner. If this was any other unit on the team, Rob, we would have a little bit of concern here. Who do you trust to step in and fill in that role? Like, if you're on the text line right now, 913-586-7965, and you were saying, Carrington, shut up, we're not worried about this, Spags is going to figure it out. Who do you think he figures it out with? Because we already know about McDuffie. You got to figure it out with some combination of Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, and Nazi Johnson. That's really it for you in the cornerback room. I don't know if you're trusting Jaden Hicks to at least be a cover corner in that way. Seems like more of a safety, but is going to be versatile. And there's a lot of things that I like about him. I don't know if you're trusting him to really cover on the outside and be that number one. One reason why their defense was so versatile last season and why it was the best defense that we've seen them have is you got great pressure up front. It's one of the better pass rushes that we've seen from that team. And you had three legitimate guys who could get to the quarterback in the second half of the season with Carl Loftus, Chris Jones, and Charles Omenihue. Your defense is going to be very good if that's the foundation. And you had two legitimate number one corners last year on your team. At least in some of the areas that matter most, they did not replace some of their key pieces from last season.
I think a lot of the text line's confidence at corner, despite the names being all the same, is the track record of Brett Veach. And it's the track record of Brett Veach with players you've never heard of. Because, Carrington, Trent McDuffie is the only one that you ever said, not just you, but everyone ever said, oh, that's a known commodity. But they replaced Bashaud Breeland and Kendall Fuller with Charvarius Ward and L'Jarius Sneed. They didn't miss a beat. They replaced Charvarius Ward with Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams. They didn't miss a beat. They've replaced guys all the time with mid to late round picks, and those mid to late round picks have become dudes. Not just like, you know, Daniel Sorensen, gritty, fun role player that fans like. They become viable NFL players. So I think Chiefs fans, or the text line at least, is looking at the depth chart and they say Trent McDuffie, known commodity. And then they have a seventh round pick and they have a mid round pick and they have another seventh round pick. Well, if Brett Veach in the late rounds found corners, I promise they'll be good because that is historically what he's done. It might be flawed logic, but they are taking the trend. What's the gambling term? You either ride the trend or get out of the way. I think Chiefs fans with Brett Veach's success at corner are riding the trend.
I mean, I'm reading the text line 913-586-7965. The text line is telling me that I'm crazy. CDOT, what's going on? The sky was falling earlier because of the Royals. Now the sky is falling because of the corner. CDOT, why are you being a Debbie Downer? Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. I'm here to point things out that last year you guys told me L'Jarius Sneed was the best corner in the league. They lost L'Jarius Sneed and they did not replace him this year. Yeah, maybe that's a problem. I feel like I'm in the wrong. Nate, and Jeff Chedid are all on one side standing together. Everybody else is on the other side of this. I'm not even saying that that's going to be the reason. If they don't reach their heights, that will be one of the reasons, is the inexperience in that cornerback room. What could hold this team back from winning the Super Bowl other than injuries? Like, if you're being honest, the Chiefs lose in the playoffs to whomever you think they lose to. What would be the reason that they lose aside from injuries? Because injuries is the number one reason why I think they would lose. I don't think there is a team in the AFC that beats Kansas City straight up. Tomorrow against the Ravens, I am picking them to win. The number one reason I am picking them to win is everybody on this team is practicing right now other than Hollywood Brown. If that's the case where their injury report is as clean as it is now, they are beating every team in the National Football League. I don't care where that game is.
To be fair, though, that's not a thing that happens in the NFL. No team in the NFL has the clean bill of health in week 12, 13. I'm not saying players are out, but if, and I'm not saying this is what you're saying, but if you are a Chiefs fan, you're saying, well, the clean bill of health is going to make them unstoppable. No team in the NFL has the clean bill of health for 17 weeks. No, it doesn't happen.
100%. And if there is one place on their team that they cannot afford an injury, I would say that their wide receiver room can afford an injury at this point more than their cornerback room is. Like right now, if you were telling me, let's say that you could press a button right now, and let's say that Rice misses the next six games or Trent McDuffie misses the next six games, they can live without having Rashee Rice for the next six games. I don't know how they make it defensively without Trent McDuffie for the next 6 weeks if he was out. Not with the teams you have, not with the quarterbacks that you go up against. For the first like six games of the season, they play teams that kind of can throw the ball around. I guess other than New Orleans. New Orleans might be the worst team in the league. I think New Orleans can be real bad this year. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. They play, those are five of their first six games of the season. So you play MVP quarterback, Joe Burrow, who's one of the five best quarterbacks in the league, Atlanta with all of their weapons, the Chargers, with a top eight quarterback in the league in Justin Herbert, and you play San Francisco with more weapons than anybody. Their cornerback room, we will find out, at least early or not, if we have a reason for concern with their cornerback room. Maybe I'm just crazy. That's perfectly fine. I could be just crazy. We're going to find out in the first 10 days of the season because they go up against two teams that got weapons that can throw the ball all around the field. We know that Baltimore with their weapons with Zay Flowers and they've got guys. And we also know about Cincinnati. And we saw Jamar Chase at practice today. I believe that he practiced today. If you had to ask me today, I think Jamar Chase plays next week in Arrowhead.
I agree. First and foremost, I've always felt that before the practice report, we were talking about the show this morning, like 10:30, 11, we got in, and this was before the news about Chase came out. And I had said, I don't think there's any chance he's missing week two. Like the way the Bengals and Chiefs have blossomed into a rivalry, Jamar Chase will put his money on hold to make sure that they take care of business in Kansas City. He's going to be in that game. So it will be. It is like it's both a gift and a curse. Like to your point, yes, the first handful of weeks in the season, we will know if they are problems in the back end. But if they can at least tread water or look good in the first couple weeks, if they make the Niners look pedestrian, if they hold down Chase and Higgins, if they make Zay Flowers look whatever again, if they make Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and that group look like the same group that was playing under Arthur Smith, then I think any cause for concern is kind of out the window by week five. But I also think by week five, it could go from cause for concern to five alarm panic, because if those guys are putting up numbers, now it's uh-oh, because that's the type you see in the playoffs.
I think Trent McDuffie right now is the second most important player on their team. Of all the players outside of Mahomes where I think they could least afford an injury, I think Trent McDuffie is number one on that list. I think they're okay if Travis Kelce misses a couple of games. Now, when you get Hollywood back, like you need your full complement of weapons, I think they could manage a couple of weeks without Chris Jones if he was gone. I think they are in a lot of trouble if Trent McDuffie gets injured at some point this season. They just really need him and his versatility. And if you don't have him on this team, man, you are rolling the dice with a room full of fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks at arguably the second most important position in the National Football League. All right, I want to play this audio for you guys. Let's move maybe a little bit more positive about the Chiefs. Roquan Smith, he plays linebacker for the Ravens. Very valuable position. Rob loves linebackers. Actually, his favorite position on the field. Roquan Smith was asked what he thinks the key to stopping Kansas City is. Hear what he said.
First and foremost, just eliminating the run, making the guys one-dimensional just like any other game. And once you make a team one-dimensional and knowing exactly what they'll do in given situation, it gives us a chance as a defense to really pin our ears back and do exactly what we would like to do.
So a lot of people were kind of all hot and bothered about Roquan Smith saying that the key to stopping Kansas City is to stop the run. I actually kind of agree with them. Now, I don't know if you really stop Kansas City for the most part, but I will say the Chiefs are a completely different team when they are balanced and run the football effectively. Now, I know, Rob, you hate running the ball, and if it was up to you, they would just give Isaiah Pacheco the ball 10 times a game, and they would throw it 50 times to Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that's their best formula to win. I think the Chiefs' offense is at its absolute best when Isaiah Pacheco gets the ball somewhere between 15 to 18 times. Now, you can give it to him 13 times out of the backfield. You throw it to him a couple of times, and he gets his touches that way. But the best version of the Chiefs involves Isaiah Pacheco. I think we are going to see a little bit more of a return to that. I'm expecting Piran to be used in that Jerick McKinnon role where you have him catch the ball out of the backfield more. This is a team that I don't want, because they have so many new pieces in that wide receiver room, to be so infatuated with just trying to throw the ball and prove to people that this offense is back what it was in 2022. This team is at its best when they remain balanced and use Isaiah Pacheco. And I think we've seen, if you can get Mahomes into the 40, 45 pass attempts, you can potentially cause him to make one or two mistakes, which could be the difference in you winning or losing the game.
I understand. And I actually agree with you on 18 touches for Pacheco. And I am also saying that as someone who is proudly betting his over on our friends at FanDuel, it's 900 yards. I feel like that's free money, but do what you want as a gambler. But I don't know what Roquan Smith is talking about. Like, it makes no sense to me. The Chiefs scored only two touchdowns in the AFC title game. They won 17-10. They scored two touchdowns. It was their first two drives. Do you know what they were doing with high level effectiveness on those drives? Passing. They were passing the ball extremely effectively. I'm looking at the drive chart. The first Chiefs touchdown drive. Pass. Successful. Pass. Successful. Pass. A run play to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Don't know why that play was in the playbook. Doesn't matter. Okay, a good run to Pacheco. No gain to Pacheco. Deep pass to Kelce. Deep pass to Kelce. Pass interference. Pass to Kelce. Touchdown. Like, I can read the second drive chart. It's going to read the same. There are runs in there because Andy Reid is going to obviously run the football. It's going to be the 60-40 pass to run we've all become accustomed to. But unless Roquan Smith was at a different AFC title game than I watched, which is possible because many players on Baltimore didn't show up in that game. They just were MIA. Passing is why the Chiefs won the AFC title game. Their two best and most successful passing drives came in the first two drives. They resulted in two touchdowns. Since then, the Chiefs' run game was nothing, and the Chiefs' pass game also was nothing. So I get what he's saying, and it was Gunther Cunningham's old saying, you know, you stop the run, you make them one-dimensional, blah, 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 blah. Rest in peace, Gunther. But it's just not the way the Chiefs operate. So if the Ravens are coming in tomorrow saying we are stopping the run, Patrick Mahomes should be having a parade down Grand Street because he should be going nuts on that secondary.
What if I told you that in the game, so the last time that these two teams played each other in the AFC Championship game, the Chiefs threw it 39 times at Patrick Mahomes and ran it 32 times, and that the Chiefs had twice as many carries as the Baltimore Ravens. Twice as many carries. I think that was a factor in the game. Now, I agree with you. I'm not here arguing that the Chiefs are ever going to be some ground-and-pound team. You shouldn't be a ground-and-pound team with Patrick Mahomes. You should throw the ball around. I do expect this offense to bounce back to being in the top 10 and being one of the better offenses in the league coming after being 17th last year in the league. But if I'm going to it as a defense and I'm trying to figure out, all right, hey, they can do a lot of things well. Isaiah Pacheco can run for 100 yards. They've got the greatest tight end that we've ever seen. What do we need to do as a team? I would say try to eliminate Isaiah Pacheco from the game and feel and make Patrick Mahomes feel like he has to do everything. And if you are going to catch Mahomes slipping in any way, it is usually when you get him thinking that he feels like he has to do everything. He might give you one or two in that scenario where you can maybe steal a possession. I've told you, I don't know if you're beating Kansas City when they're in this scenario, when they are fully healthy for the most part like they are now. Sure, they don't have Hollywood Brown, but everybody else is a full participant. I expect them to win this game. If Baltimore is going to win this game, it's going to be because they run the football effectively, they stop Kansas City from running the ball, and they disrupt timing for Kansas City. Something they did kind of decent in the second half last year of the AFC Championship game. Coming up on the other side, we will get back to the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about the panic meter. And some of you, I just want you to breathe easy. I'll explain. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. I assume that some of you are listening on 610 AM, but hopefully you are listening on 96.5 The Fan. All right, panic, I would say, is the word right now that has fallen over all Royals fans. Certainly understandable. The Royals have lost 7 games in a row. I want to play for you guys what John Heyman has to say. He is not panicked about the Royals.
I'm not concerned, panic, certainly not doomed. They're not doomed. They have a 4.5 game lead. We've never had a doom for a team with a 4.5 game cushion. I hope they're not panicking. It might have been good for Ron, certainly a veteran.
You're a New Yorker. How are you smart guy.
Well, first of all, I'm not from Kansas City, so maybe that's why I'm not panicking. But I don't think they should be panicking. They have Sal Perez, who's one of the best leaders in baseball. They have the best all-around player, arguably, in the game, in Bobby Witt Jr. They're still on pace for 87 wins, which would be a 31-game advantage over what they did last year, or improvement over what they did last year. So I hope they should feel good about where they are and not worry about it. 7 measly games, that's nothing. Look at the White Sox. They've lost, what have they lost, 50 in a row? 7's nothing.
Okay. I guess a couple of things here. I personally am past the, well, they won 56 games last year, so be happy with, no, I'm past that point. When you got a 4.5 game lead with less than 25 to go, I'm thinking about you making the postseason and playing in some meaningful games in October. I'm past that point. And please, let's not use the White Sox as an example for really any other Major League Baseball team. That team would lose to the Chatham A's. That team is terrible. That's number two. Number three, I don't think that you guys should be as worried as some of you are. I know some of you are biting your nails and just worried about the Kansas City Royals. What if I told you right now that the other teams that they are playing have not yet taken advantage of what we are seeing? The Boston Red Sox, they're not even the team that's first up on the outside looking in. That team is the Tigers. The Tigers have actually played really good baseball of late. They have won 7 of their last 10. They've caught up a lot of ground against the Kansas City Royals. The Tigers are still 1 game over 500. So we still got a long way to go before we have this conversation about them being in the wild card race. The Royals have not done as much damage as you would think. In the middle of this losing streak, they have only lost 2 games in the standings. Now, if the Red Sox were hot and had taken advantage of this stretch, we'd be all sitting here on pins and needles that they got themselves right back into it. But Boston is falling apart right now. Rob, the Red Sox are 70-96. How many games do you think the Red Sox win?
I would say 82. They're a 500-ish team to me.
It feels to me like 84 is their absolute ceiling. Now, the Tigers are a little bit of an interesting case, and maybe we got to pay attention more to the Tigers than we have. I mean, their schedule down the stretch, if there is a team that could potentially catch the Kansas City Royals, that team to me is far more likely to be the Tigers than it is to be the Boston Red Sox. So they just won a series against the Red Sox. The Tigers did. They won that at the end of August. Now, if you look at it, they have 3 games against Oakland. That's a bad team. They have 3 games against Colorado. That's also a bad team. Now, they do have 6 games against the Orioles. That might be the best team in baseball. And the Tigers play in Kansas City coming up in a couple of weeks for the Royals' final homestand of the season. They also have 3 games against Chicago at the end of the year. So I'm not ready to 100% throw dirt on the Red Sox grave, but the Red Sox, to me, kind of had their opening to get back into this thing, and they have not taken advantage of it at all. The Tigers, they have taken advantage of this run, winning a lot of games, starting to play, and they also play Kansas City, so they can directly make up those games against Kansas City in the same vein that we were talking about Kansas City being able to make up those games against the Cleveland Guardians. It is still important to note that for as down as you can be on the Kansas City Royals, they are still 1 game back of Minnesota for the second wild card spot. And Minnesota comes to town on Friday. So they have literally 1 more game before they play the Minnesota Twins. I'm just
things are not maybe as bad as you think they are. That the Royals have given themselves a good cushion by how they played in the first 130 games, that they are in a position where they can ride this thing out. They can. They can ride this thing out just a bit. The Royals are going to win another game this season. I can't tell you exactly when that is going to be. I wish I had that crystal ball, but I know they're not losing every game the rest of the way. They will also probably win a couple of series on the way out. Rob, you and I said if they got to at least 88 wins, they would be good. I would say right now, based on how this thing is, they will probably have to win at least 86 games to make the postseason, right? The Royals have to find 11 more wins. Can they find 11 more wins between now and the end of the season? I don't think the Red Sox get to 86. The Tigers would have to play incredibly hot down the stretch in order for them to get to 86 wins. I mean, that is them having an incredible final 5 weeks of the season. Can the Royals win 11 more games this season? If they do that, Rob, they're going to make the postseason.
I mean, it's just, it's the basic math of it. Like, you have a 4.5 game lead. If you win 10 or 11, now the pressure turns on the Red Sox. They got to win, what, 14 or 15? Yeah. And the Tigers, by the way, in the same vein, I believe, now may I have this incorrect, the Royals have done really well against the Tigers this year.
They have.
And might own the tiebreaker already, so it might be a 5-game real advantage when you consider tiebreakers. So as the schedule begins to crunch, obviously a 7-game losing streak is the worst possible scenario for the Royals, but they will get back to playing normal baseball, and MLB.com has a little tab. It's like last 10. If you were to click last 10, most teams in baseball end up somewhere between 4-6, 6-4, right in that 500-ish wash. They have hot stretches, they have cold stretches, but usually baseball teams over a 10-game sample size are like a 500-ish team. If the Royals do that twice over the next 20, it's going to be very, very difficult for the Red Sox to catch them. It's going to be near impossible for the Red Sox to catch them. So in a weird way, obviously losing games in September stinks, but the fact that you're not losing ground means that when you regain a level of winning form, you are not drowning.
The Tigers have 23 games remaining. They have 9 games against Baltimore and Kansas City, so 9 games against playoff teams. That is important to note. In order for the Tigers to get to 86 wins, they're going to have to go at least 16-7 down the stretch. Now, maybe they do it. Crazy things happen. It's baseball. It is important to note, you know that saying, like, you are what your record is? The Tigers, over the first 140 games of the season, they have been a 1-game-over-500 team, and they are in the same division as the Chicago White Sox. They have not been a team that I don't think is capable of, in their final 30 games, going 23-7 or whatever it would be with this current streak that they're currently on. So I get it. You're a little bit nervous. The only thing that I think we can definitively say about the Royals at this point is I would get those division thoughts out of your head. They are not winning the American League Central. That is over. Congratulations to the Cleveland Guardians. You are going to win the American League Central. When it comes to the wild card, at some point you do have to figure it out. And you are giving up the lead that you have earned over the course of the season. But there is still time to turn this thing around if you are the Kansas City Royals. I promise you, there is still time to do it. Against the teams that matter most, you got 1 game against Cleveland today. Figure out a way to win this game. And this weekend series against Minnesota, all of the damage that you have done over the course of the last 10 days, you can undo that by simply beating the Minnesota Twins at home and figuring out a way to win 2 of 3. You can exhale a little bit, sit back, watch yourself some football over the course of the next 4 or 5 days. And when the Royals plan on going back on the road, and they got the Yankees for 3, they got the Pirates for 3, they could get Paul Skeens, who could be the National League Cy Young winner. You got a couple of other teams, and you play the Tigers. This team only has 7 more home games remain, or I guess this weekend. So they have 10 home games remaining for the rest of the season. They got 10. Take care of business against Cleveland. Take care of business against Minnesota. And you got Detroit. So you have the team that is directly ahead of you in the wild card and the team that's directly behind of you. Everything is still right there on the table for the Kansas City Royals. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about Rob's favorite topic. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.